into the 5 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you until 7 p.m. Tyler Zuli behind the glass. We've enjoyed talking a little bit of everything because there's a little bit of everything slowly but surely trying to come back in the sports world, and that includes golf. Tomorrow afternoon, live golf from Seminole Golf Club down there in Florida. And joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast is Brandel Chambly of the Golf Channel. Brandel, I appreciate you taking the time. First and foremost, how are you and your family? Everybody safe?
Yeah, Dee, thanks for having me on. Absolutely. We're all safe, knock on wood, by and large. And like everybody else, I think we're all hungry to sort of safe and responsibly get back to doing some things that outside of cleaning the house and doing projects around the house.
That's a honey-do list time that we've had lately, I would call
that. I've done all the honey-dos. There's none left. I'm ready to go watch golf and talk about it.
But you get to do that tomorrow, which is kind of exciting. It's the TaylorMade Driving Relief, which is a charity. It is a skins event. Some may say the one team looks a little more lopsided than the other. I'll ask your opinion. Rory is ranked one in the world, Dustin Johnson fifth, going up against Ricky Fowler, and then, of course, the 2019 NCAA champion in Matthew Wolf. Does it matter so much? He's ranked 110 right now. Does it matter so much in a skins game, Brandel, do you think, what your ranking is, or, you know, how many times you've won on the PGA Tour?
Well, first of all, in match play, I mean, when you're as good as these players are, and Matt Wolf's rank is certainly lower than theirs, but he's only been a professional for less than a year, so he hasn't had time to necessarily accrue all the points. But as close as these players are in match play, it's almost a flip of a coin. Now, on paper, it will look very lopsided. You have Rory, there's only been two players more dominant and number one in the history of the world rankings than him, and Dustin Johnson has only been four players more dominant than him. So on paper, will look very lopsided. But when they actually get out there and play, there's some nuance. It'll feel more like a three-point shooting contest or a home run derby because Rory and DJ and Matt Wolf are three of the longest hitters. I mean, Matt Wolf can swing. He can hit the ball further than either DJ or Rory. He can swing faster than anybody on the PGA Tour. So there's going to be a home run sort of feel to this. And then Ricky Fowler he's a magician around and on the green. So there'll be some showing off. There'll be some guys, you know, talking smack. And it'll be fun. And it's a great golf course for the guys to show off on.
Oh, my gosh. And I think that's part of it, Brandel, that there's never been a live broadcast at Seminole. It is a beautiful place. So many people, I think, will tune in just to get to see it. Can you kind of describe what makes it so special?
Yeah, you know your golf, D. You're right. This golf course has never been on TV, although next year it's scheduled to host the Walker Cup. So this will be sort of a preamble to that, like a teaser.
Yep.
What makes it special is a lot of things. One, it's right against the coast. Two, it was designed by Donald Ross. Now, he designed a lot of golf courses, but this is considered his masterpiece right there with Pinehurst number 2. There's some elevation change on this golf course. There's a ridge on the sort of the western side of this golf course, and he uses that ridge to sort of mess with elevation change on the golf course and keep the players off balance. And the greens themselves are very difficult. They're sloped heavily back to front. They're crowned. They got all these false edges in front. And so because the wind is typically blowing 20, 30 miles an hour, guys are hitting these shots into these greens that are, I joke, that they're harder to hit than a tropical mosquito. Like, they're these little, bitty, tiny little greens. And if you miss them, they go off into these deep, deep bunkers. So, you know, the best players in the world, when they're on their game, can make plenty of birdies out there. But they can also be challenged and make plenty of mistakes. But again, I think the golf course sets up nicely to not only offer great views for the fans, but it offers a great opportunity for these best players to show off and have fun.
All right, so it's a skins game, and as you pointed out, a lot of, you know, in match play, we're talking about a lot of even or equalness. Does the pressure in a skins game, even though it is charity, there's a competitiveness that's absolutely there in these two teams, that if a skin just keeps rolling over, and say we get to the fourth hole and it's rolled over, and the money on the line for a team becomes significant. Does that add to it, do you think? Or do you think we'll be seeing skins won a little more frequently than I just laid out there?
No, I think you're right. I think it'll accumulate, and then you'll end up having this enormous sort of, you know,
pot.
I wouldn't say it's enormous pressure, because there's, you know, there's no telling what sort of intensity all these players. Of course, they want to win, but they also know that they're putting on a show, they're entertaining,
yep,
and the whole thing's for charity. So there'd be more levity in this event than you would otherwise expect at, say, the WGC match play. But yes, it will build, and all of a sudden it'll get down to sort of the brass tacks, and pride matters, and ego matters. And I promise you, Rory and DJ don't want to get clipped.
Right.
And for Matt Wolf, who's kind of new to professional golf, I think people that are maybe not ardent golf fans coming to watch him, they're going to be mesmerized by him. The closest thing I can give you to sort of anticipating what you're going to see with Matt Wolf is, if you're a baseball fan, he's got the most unusual sort of motion you'll ever see, like a Chad Bradway.
Mm.
But he throws it as hard as Nolan Ryan. So that's what you've got in Matt Wolf. He's got this funkiest swing maybe anybody's ever seen in professional golf, but he swings 130 miles an hour, and DJ and Rory will swing 123.
Right.
So he's got the potential to hit it 20, 30 yards by now.
All right, and then there are no caddies. How big a difference is that? I mean, these guys have been playing golf all their life, but a lot of times it's nice just to bounce something off. I guess you could use your teammate as somebody to bounce something off, but does that play in at all?
Yeah, caddies spoil you, you know?
Yes, exactly.
All you got to do is just walk up, you get a yardage. So, you know, look, I mean, now they have the range finders, which will simplify the job. There's got to be no math tomorrow. They'll have range finders.
Right, right.
But it's just up to them basically to pick a club. Sort of, I guess they can sort of, mingle a little bit with their partner. But yeah, there's apt to be a mistake or two here, missing a green by a wide margin. They don't know Rory probably knows the course better than anybody. But still, the winds are going to be blowing likely. The golf course is hard. I've played it a fair number of times. It's not an easy golf course to make guesses on. So there'll be some mistakes. Caddies make the game so much easier and more fun. But you're right. They'll be carrying their own bag. Not sure yet whether or not they're going to have those little donuts in the hole.
In the hole, yeah. I saw where they were asking that they'd not. But
Yeah, not sure about that. But it'll be a different look. I mean, Matt Wolf is the one who's most recently played college golf and carried his own bag. And I might add this about Matt Wolf. There's only been three players in the history of college golf that have won the NCAA championship and then won a PGA Tour event the same year.
And he already won one. Yeah.
That's right. Tiger Woods did it. Ben Crenshaw did it.
Wow.
And Matt Wolf did it.
Whoa. Just
three. So a lot of people will be looking over Matt Wolf, but he's done things these other three players have not done. Granted, Rory didn't even play college golf, but I mean, Matt Wolf is an exceptional talent.
Brandel, now, in terms of the broadcast, and I know you're going to be in the studio to do the pregame. I call it pregame. I don't know if there's the proper
term. Yeah, that's it. Pregame.
Okay, pregame.
Yeah,
you and Kara. So you'll do the pregame, and there are not as many people on location as normal. So this is kind of a dry run for maybe how you all will be doing future golf tournaments, maybe beginning with the one, the Charles Schwab. With people having to do things remotely. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. You know, this is going to be a sort of a skeleton crew. There's only going to be a handful of people in our studio. There's, you know, sort of designated areas where I need to go and stay and work. And then the only time I will basically be able to take my mask off in the building is when Karin and I are on the air. And then out at the golf course itself, very few people are going to be, you know, out there. So, you know, it'll be curious to see how this works. We have to get there earlier tomorrow to sort of do rehearsals to see if everybody can, you know, correspond and communicate and get our ducks in a row, because we're making this up as we go along.
As we are doing with a lot of things right now. My last thing, Brandel, because really, I know there's a lot of people just looking forward to, because they love the idea of live sports again. But this is the first I've seen people who actually really even want to bet again. And betting in sports has become like entertainment for so many people. Have you like noticed those conversations also?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. You know, the match is what the Phil Mickelson Tiger Woods event was last year. It was called the match.
Yep.
I read about the betting reviews, and it didn't sort of galvanize the support that they thought. But they're anticipating the matches coming up with Tiger and Phil will get four times what it normally got. I suspect there'll be the equivalent on this. Not many people, I think, will probably know how to sort of gauge it, but I think there'll be a lot of interest. You know, pent-up demand. I mean, yes. How many times can we stream Ozark or Billions or House of Cards? I've seen them. It's like, I've seen every series there is to see. I'm ready to watch some sports.
It's so true. It's so true. Brandel, where can people follow you on Twitter? And what time is the pregame show on Golf Channel tomorrow?
We are on tomorrow at, I believe, 1:30.
Correct, because I think 2 o'clock is the start. Yep.
That's right. So we're on 1:30 to 2, and then we'll follow the show, Cara and I, mm-hmm. and do a show 6 to 6:30. And, of course, you know, I'm on Twitter at Chambly Brandel, and, you know, just a pleasure to meet you telephonically.
Here yes. Too. Brandel, thank you so much. I appreciate the time, and have some fun tomorrow.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
Yes. Bye-bye. Brandel Chambly joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. I'm looking forward to this. And he is right. I did not realize, I have been to Seminole once. I played Seminole once, I guess is the best way to say it. An absolute beautiful piece of property. And he is right. The wind, I think I read somewhere, I want to credit Arnold Palmer, but I'm not positive. I think it was Arnold. I read where he said, if you can play at Seminole, you can play anywhere. And so the views, it's funny because there's not a ton. You don't see the ocean everywhere. It's kind of its own little entity. But I think that's part of that being the backdrop of this charity skins will be cool. And now I'm really looking forward to watching Matthew Wolf, because those are some incredible stats that Brandel threw out at us. So again, tomorrow 2 o'clock, they'll be, and I'll be interested to seeing in the pregame, because you'll see these guys arrive. I'm guessing, you know, what that looks like. Do you go to the range? Maybe. I think I saw that they're not allowed more than 20 minutes beforehand to be there. And it'll be just those four, because no caddy. And, you know, away they go. I didn't get into it with Brandel, but in addition to the skins part of it, which, by the way, the team of McIlroy and Johnson, they are representing a nurse's, the American Nurses Foundation, and then the other two, Fowler and Wolf, the CDC Foundation. So both of those are helping in the COVID-19 relief efforts. So the money will, and each team is starting out with $500,000, and the winning team will be the one that has the biggest pot after the skins game is done. And if it is tied, nobody wins the skin on 18, they will go back to 17. And depending on how much time is left in the broadcast time, so the window for the whole thing is 4 hours, which makes sense, then they'll implement a rule that will kind of make it a tiebreaker, whether it's closest to the pin, because 17 is a par three. They have like three or four things that are in there as possible tiebreakers, if in fact the skin on 18. And 18 skin, if I'm not mistaken, I think is worth $500,000, so they make 18 the biggest pot of all the others. Let's see. D, you had this in front of you. Yeah, 1 through 6 is 50,000 each. 7 through 16, 100,000 each. 17 is worth 200,000, and I was correct. 18 is worth $500,000. So obviously you have to have a tiebreaker if they don't win that skin, because that's the biggest chunk of change. Live golf tomorrow. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm excited. And again, you can see it on NBC. So kind of like soccer this morning, this is something, and also NASCAR gets underway tomorrow. And again, we're seeing these sports where the individual, with golf in particular and NASCAR, obviously soccer was not that. And all of these things that we're talking about continue to be done without fans in their buildings or in the settings on the golf course. No one there to cheer you on. So I think what will be interesting, as Brandel pointed out, and kind of what you saw in today's soccer match, is the audio. Now, I couldn't hear specifically with the soccer because a lot of that is a high camera. You can hear the general noise of people yelling to one another. But I know Pat Egan had talked about with the UFC fighting that you could hear things being said right there on the mat. And in the case of tomorrow's golf, I am assuming that there will be microphones on players, or there has to be. And then, of course, you would also have the announcers who will be calling the match remotely. And you have two reporters who will be on the grounds. And I guess that's how they'll be getting their yardage, because those two reporters will be able to have their own viewfinder and be able to tell you the yardage that any given shot is. So it'll be different, and that's part of the fun. And I do think it'll give us a little bit of an inkling. I will be curious of when the PGA Tour does take place in the middle of June, June 11th, if caddies somehow are allowed into that. I don't know. I don't know how you could do it. But I do think the caddies are, you know, critical, as Brandel pointed out. Now, in a charity event, it doesn't become as critical, though it could cost you a shot somewhere along the way, and you hope it's not too big of a shot. But I will be curious if they talk about that tomorrow and what things that we're seeing on the course tomorrow they think will continue to play out when the tour comes back in June. 610-632-0975. And since tomorrow's event is supported by United Health Group to raise money and awareness for, as I mentioned, the American Nurses Foundation and CDC Foundation, I should tell you about what we are doing. And during this global pandemic, there are those on the front line who help to keep our community safe. They're the doctors, nurses, educators, and so many more. They are health heroes. Is there a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize? If so, go to 975thefanatic.com to nominate someone special. Check out our webpage and our social media pages and listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Each day this coming week, the health hero we nominate will receive a $50 gift card from Dietz & Watson, Premium Meats and Artesian Cheeses, and your local ShopRite Market. For pickup, order online at shoprite.com. Our Health Hero program is being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Felt Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your family comfortable at home. Go to paybryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. We are all in this together. This is 97.5 The Fanatic. And I will just say, I thought to myself today, it feels like I will need my air conditioning not too far down the line. It's quite warm out there today. I think I saw yesterday on the news that it was our first reaching 80 this in 2020, that it reached the temperature of 80 in this neck of the woods. And you could feel like, wow, all right, now we got some spring weather. So 610-632-0975. We can talk about the golf. When I did pull up some of those odds, because I absolutely, and I did not realize that it was attached to the match and how the betting of the match between Phil and Tiger last year was such a big deal. And now I think it's coupled with the fact that there's also not been anything that people can wager on. And having that available to do so makes it kind of fun. Let's check in with Chris in Jersey. Chris, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, D?
Doing all right.
All right. Yeah, wow, that was quick. I wanted to ask you, I don't What do you think about tennis? I mean, I'm not a big tennis guy, but I mean, there's certain distance there. I mean, if this whole without the crowd works out good, I mean, that would be something for tennis people to watch.
Yeah, you know,
that would be good.
I would agree with you, and that was one of the ones that I thought
would be the easiest.
You would think, yes. The only thing I thought about, but baseball has come up with something that they want to do.
Okay.
And tennis could do this as well, because you're touching the ball every time. But to me...
new ball, you were saying.
Right.
Each.
But here's the deal. In a tennis match, those are two people that would have to be tested. And once you're in there, I think I'd take my chances.
Or have gloves, rubber gloves.
Right. You know? I said the same thing with the gloves for tennis also. I know I've gone to I played some golf, you know, recently, and I now wear two gloves also, so that anything I'm touching is, you know, I don't have to worry about it. Normally I would only wear one, but what's the big deal of me putting on a second glove?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's just me.
No, I totally agree with you. I love the show, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You're so knowledgeable. Now what about hockey? Because they wear gloves, they got masks, they got fully, you know,
right.
I mean,
that's a lot.
Gear.
They have a lot that, well, to me, the two sports that, in my opinion, are the hardest are football and hockey. You know what I mean? But
and
part of it, I do believe, is the equipment involved, right? So that equipment has to be so, you know, sterilized. I don't know the better word to use for it.
Precisely examined correctly.
You know, because, I mean, and it, with those, now soccer today, I mean, you're still hitting one another. I mean, that one guy was on the ground for a while.
Yeah, wrestling for the ball, you're leaning against each other. It's
right.
Like,
but
I don't understand.
But there, and the same with UFC, when they had their fights last week, testing was available to them. And so was it for the soccer in Germany. Now, for the UFC last week, they needed 1,200 tests for 300 people. In the testing for the German soccer league, they did it in terms of a percentage of what was available in their entire country. And it was less than 1% that they used to reopen a soccer league. And that number, because the biggest thing in the States is taking away testing from people who really need it. If we can't have that, you can't use it to be opening. I mean, it is revenue. It is part of the economy, but it is, you know, they aren't essential workers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One last thing, I guess,
yes,
real
sir.
Quick. It really bothers me because I'm not really into basketball, but I love the Flyers, and they were on fire all this happened. I was like, oh man, we're on our way.
I think it was that either 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 11, and then it all stopped. Or as Gary Bettman likes to say in the NHL, they put it on pause.
Yeah. So if they restart, can we start from when we started, or are they going straight to the playoffs?
Well, that's for every league to decide. You know, it really comes down to building availability, getting yourselves in shape, and how much are you willing to fit into a shorter amount of time, or will you allow it to impact the start of the next season by going longer now and then starting your next season later?
Yeah, there's so much
and
up in the air.
There really is. And until you even know, like as I said, until every state is reopened in some way, shape, or form, you can't start to have leagues unless you go to a bubble way, meaning where everybody's in one location.
Yeah, you were saying it. I mean, safety is obviously first. I mean, we're blessed by having sports. It's kind of greedy, but if there's a way we can do it,
Oh, yeah, because people enjoy it, and it's an outlet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Dee, have a great rest of your Sunday. I appreciate your time.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling the Fanatic. 610-632-0975. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On Saturday afternoon, D-Line, I'm with you until 7 o'clock. Tyler Zuli behind the glass. And we've kind of explored a lot of different topics this afternoon. Basketball, Sixers in particular. Brett Brown touching on a number of different topics. One of the things, because he's always so interesting in having conversations that aren't just about basketball. One, he's in great shape because he's been walking so much with his wife and his dog. He does not have a quarantine coif beard as many do. And he likes to be the one who does the cooking because he doesn't like to have to clean up. So he's done a lot of crock pot cooking during this quarantine time. So that was kind of fun. And also, I didn't realize, but at least this is how he said it. He's had, you can't check in every day with everybody on your team. I mean, it's just not realistic. But he did kind of hint that they had a Zoom and he appreciated where you can see everybody. And on your, you know, you have your screen kind of like, reminds me of the opening of the Brady Bunch when everybody's in a box. And so he was saying, it led me to believe by one of his thoughts that Korkmaz might be at home in Turkey. And some of these guys have all gone. And so he asks about, you know, what's it like there? What's the biggest thing that you deal with? Or, you know, how do you feel? Not just physically, but in terms of what's going on and having a routine. For him, a routine is really, really important. And I would imagine that a lot of people like having a routine. I think it is a little more difficult, and that's why he says it's important. Because if you're just always in one place, I guess you can get some, just make sure you get your things done in whatever amount of time it takes you. So we've been discussing that, the play of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. We've talked about Major League Baseball and opening up. Also, financially, you know, they've had a couple people come out, Snell, and then in response to Snell saying, you know, look, I'm not going to play if they don't pay what I've agreed to. And in part of that discussion for him was also, you know, putting himself in danger. I think it has to be fair that that was part of the discussion. He wasn't just saying he wasn't going to play just for no pay, but if you're putting yourself out there. And then, you know, the discussion goes, they've been asked to take less, which the NBA players are also taking less. But then for in baseball, because if fans don't return to the stadiums, then that they want the players to take an even bigger cut. And, you know, where do you draw the line there? And as I mentioned a little while back, baseball is unique because revenue sharing in other sports. Sorry, I'm losing my voice there, Tyler. Revenue sharing in baseball and the fact that it has no salary cap is very different than for basketball. The salary cap is structured based on your revenue. So they are looking at this together and trying to decide because they want to get the number up as high as possible because that increases what you give back to your players. And it's clear, or I mean, they can try to recoup what has been lost. I just don't know how you can recoup what has been lost with the fact that 2.5 months of no sports has happened. And fans are not immediately coming back. Them being in the seats accounts for 40% of the revenue in the NBA. I don't have a number on that with the other sports. I can tell you that the number would be very high in football, you would think, for a lot of teams, because a lot of teams pack their buildings. Now, again, it's lesser games than what we're talking with the NBA, but so anyhow, now the discussion is not just about getting back and what rules are in place for that to be safe for everyone involved, but also financially, how are they doing that? Because what is in place likely can't happen the way it's been structured. And so you got to go back to the drawing board for that as well. Soccer was played this morning in Germany between Dortmund and Schalke. S-H-A-L-K-E. I do believe that's how they say it. And it was a 4-0 win for Dortmund, who lost one of their better players. Gio Reyna was out by suffering an injury in warm-ups. And that, again, points to the discussion you must allow when these teams all are coming back, or leagues, for proper training to get back to, you know, a starting point from the perspective of the players involved, because you don't want these injuries happening because you do too much too soon when they have been basically kind of, you know, stagnant, I guess is the best way you can stay in shape, but you're not, you haven't been able to do your job, and their job is playing a sport. So that's been another part of the discussion. And then looking forward to tomorrow, when the PGA has an exhibition. Now, again, it is exhibition. It is a skins match between two teams, two players on each team. Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, and then on the other team, Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff. I found an article on The Score. I don't know. I mean, I know Dustin Johnson. Look, he's ranked 5th in the world, but this article is questioning, because the odds are that McIlroy and Johnson are so favored, if in fact this is something you would investigate to wanting putting some money down on. But this guy is saying, how motivated can we expect Dustin Johnson to be in an exhibition match? And then I guess he went and looked, and he's not had great success playing at Seminole. And so does that factor in? Basically, the article was the way you would normally put money on a PGA event and the prop bets associated with that is not how you would look at tomorrow's event. And so, like, there's an interesting a prop bet on Fowler and Wolf, and will they wear, like, a tribute to Oklahoma State, because that's where they played their college golf, you know, wearing their college colors, something like that. I don't know how you would bet that. I don't know. I guess you can bet it straight up. I don't know. Closest to the pin makes sense. Yeah, there's a lot of different ones. But if you're trying to longest drive on 14, now the beauty of that, let's see what the numbers are on that. So they actually have McIlroy at plus 125, and they have Wolf at plus 400. I might take the young kid on that, especially with Brandel Chamblee of the Golf Channel saying this kid swings a club like nobody's business in terms of speed. I might take it. I may. That might be one that I would take a chance on. Yeah.
And 400's good value.
That's why I would do it, because good value. And not knowing, I mean, I'll take my chances on that one, and the way the kid is a little different in terms of his swing looks different. But I'll take my education from Brandel Chamblee on that one. Yeah, that's a flyer. I just have to figure out. I've heard the ads that Andrew's been reading. I guess that's for DraftKings, Tyler?
Yes.
All right, so I have DraftKings, my app. There's got to be a way I can do that. I'm going to figure that one out. And then let's see, that match goes 2-6 tomorrow. We're here 12-4. All right. I won't be on the air when they're on 14. So it'll be the next week I can tell people if I won or not. Well, this is kind of exciting. I'm enjoying this. 610-632-0975. I am here until 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we still have another segment before that, but I have a fun interview. We're going to talk to a coach who won an NBA championship back in the day. And part of it, probably did not sit well with fans in this city. Not only did he and his team do it against the Philadelphia 76ers, but they also won on the Sixers home floor, and that was 40 years ago today. We'll set the table for that interview coming up on the other side. You can join the conversation, 610-632-0975, 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. So, I love that during quarantine, it does seem that I pay more attention to this date in history. And this date in history was when the Lakers in 1980 came to Philadelphia. They were up 3-2 in the series. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was definitely back in Los Angeles with a bum ankle. And, you know, they're going to try to win the championship on the Sixers' home floor. And in fact, they did do that. And I was looking at leading up to that game, there had been a lot of close games. But in that sixth game, it was a close game at halftime. I believe it was tied. It was tied 60 all. And then the Lakers won the third quarter by 10, and they won the fourth quarter by 6 for that 123-107 finish. Magic Johnson, as a rookie, stepped in and played center position. Actually, he played center, forward, and guard that day. But he finished with 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, he did have 5 turns, but when you're touching the ball as much as he did, he played 47 minutes. When we were talking about Brett Brown wanting Joel Embiid to be able to average 38 minutes in the playoffs, and that sounds crazy. How about this? I'll just do the whole Lakers starters in Game 6. Magic played 47. Jim Jones played 43. Jamal Wilkes, who finished with 37 points, played 42. Norm Nixon played 40 minutes. And Michael Cooper played 39. You know what it does? It just tells you it's a different era in basketball. Now, if you went to the Sixers, they had a different mix, but he might have liked his bench better. No pun intended. Steve Mix was the best coming off the Sixers bench that day. He played 25 minutes, scored 18 points on 8 of 11 shooting. The former color analyst for the Philadelphia 76ers at Comcast Sportsnet. But back in the day, also a member of the Sixers. And in that game, he certainly did his part. Bobby Jones came off the bench, played 29 minutes. So they just played it differently. But we will talk to Paul Westhead about that particular game and that series, because it was done differently then. I went and looked. They played Phoenix in the first round. Then they played Seattle in the second round. They lost the first game to Seattle before winning 4 in a row. And then, as I mentioned, had 5 pretty well-played games against the Sixers before they were led by the rookie Magic Johnson to victory. And Paul Westhead, he had taken over coaching very early in the season. He was an assistant coach with Jack McKinney, and Jack McKinney had that terrible bike accident that the Lakers were 10-4 when that happened, and he was unable to return for the rest of that year. So Paul went 50-18 with that crew, and as a rookie coach himself, and a young guy at that, he used some of his Philly knowledge, I'm sure, that he learned at West Catholic is where it started. I believe he actually went to St. Joe's. I always have to stop and hesitate on that because I think of him with LaSalle because he was a LaSalle basketball coach many places. But what a lot of people don't also know about Westhead is that he did win a WNBA championship as well with the Phoenix Mercury. And he had those really interesting runs with Loyola Marymount where they just tried to run you out of the building. And that one team in particular was so fun to watch. It had a lot of heartbreak in it. And actually, I just, I think it was last week, I read the story of Hank Gathers' son. And Hank Gathers would have been on one of Paul's Loyola Marymount teams, along with Bo Kimble. But they had some great shooters. Really, really good shooters, and they had a nice run into the NCAA tournament, and it probably would have been greater had Hank Gathers been able to be part of that. And unfortunately, he had an unfortunate, you know, the tragedy of him dying during their conference tournament, you know, put a, just changed that whole run for that team and those people involved. So he did coach at Loyola. He coached at George Mason. And his most recent stop was coaching the Oregon women's basketball team. Not this current, but man, the current Oregon women's team, I was really looking forward to seeing them play in the postseason and would have really wanted to see how far they could take that.
That was the best college basketball team, men's or women's, that I've seen probably since like the Breanna Stewart UConn women's teams.
Breanna was, she was pretty, yeah. Why am I drawing a blank on the, she was number one pick in the WNBA draft.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Sabrina, thank you. Yeah, so anyhow, but before there was Sabrina and those, that great Oregon team we got to see this year, Coach Westhead coached that team. So we're going to talk to him coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. About, I can't imagine back then. So they weren't charters. So you're coming in, you're up 4-2, and you know, you say to yourself, I mean, you're up 3-2, and you say to yourself, you know, we got to get, you got to get the first, you know, you got to get this one. The first opportunity, I don't know. I just think putting it all on the line at game seven. But who would have thunk that they could come into your building and just so dominate a second half? I should have looked up what Kareem had been doing in that series before he hurt his ankle. But, you know, now one of the things I've always been told was that they, and they say even in the playoffs, that the Sixers did not get sellout crowds for those teams back then. I can't believe that. I mean, you have Doc Moses. So I'd be curious if Westhead thought that it would be an intimidating building that they were coming into. And the other thing I wanted to see, let's see, 1980. Anyhow, it'll be fun to talk to him. And it's amazing how each week, last week we had the four bouncer to think about. This week it's about losing in 1980. I'm not purposely trying to be the one just pointing out some the down moments. We've had plenty of great moments. It just happens that they have fallen on these particular days that we've been here. So, and it's just fun to reminisce while we're trying to wait to get back to regular sports activities happening in our very own backyard, not over in Germany necessarily, or tomorrow in Florida when they'll play some golf. But I think you feel it. I think it's coming. I will be interested. I especially pay attention to New Jersey because, well, one, it's where the Sixers practice facility is. And it does seem like they're reopening. They've added fairly, you know, opening beaches and parks and a lot of things. And I'm definitely interested. Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Wow, in that series, was averaging 33 points, 13 and a half boards, 4.6 blocks. Wow. And they come in here without him and win by 16. Who'd have thunk it? You know what? I think that, well, this will be even more interesting to get his perspective, but you got to think that the Sixers might have been in a mentality that without Kareem, how can they can't get us? I mean, that's a, the, that would be like take your best, I mean, take LeBron's numbers off and can they still beat the other team? That's not supposed to be able to happen, I don't think. All right, well, we'll ask because it was a while ago, but Coach Paul Westhead was front and center for it at the Spectrum. All of a sudden, I wanted to say the Vet. At the Spectrum back in 1980, May 16, 1980, a 123-107 Game 6 final in favor of the Lakers for an NBA championship. Philly guy won an NBA championship right in his own neighborhood. We'll talk to him about that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.